Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neocolonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are back once again at the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people in support of the new African independence movement. I give a big revolutionary greetings and a big free the land to all of my brothers and sisters and comrades out there in radio, internet land, listening. And we want to thank everybody for tuning in, for having all of your questions, for all of the interest in what we're doing. But we want to start the show out, as we always do, by shining the spotlight on an organization, an individual, or an event that played a significant role in the liberation struggle for African people. And today we want to talk about, we want to deal with the question, or the subject, of slavery and its connection to wealth in America. Because as most people understand, as most people know, most people don't know, that America is one of the wealthiest countries in the world, maybe one of the wealthiest countries in the history of the world. But how did this wealth come into existence? And those in the know understand that it is the direct result of the enslavement of African people. Because you have to understand, you have centuries and centuries of forced free labor that contributed to the wealth, the amassing of an enormous wealth in this country, and helped to establish many of the financial institutions in this country. In fact, by 1840, at least 60% of the world's cotton was grown right here in the United States. Now that's 60% of the cotton all over the whole world came from the U.S. And it was grown, labored over, and picked by enslaved African people, our enslaved African ancestors right here in the United States. Now this created great wealth. Now this is just cotton. This is not to mention the tobacco, the rice, and other products that were presided over they were the results of the enslavement of African people. We're just talking about cotton. So this massed a tremendous amount of wealth for the South, but many people are under the misunderstanding, are under the impression that the South are the people from the South are the only people who benefited from this enslavement institution, which is not true, because this institution of slavery, from this institution of slavery, several other businesses and corporations emerged out of it. In fact, it can be said that the wealth created in the South helped to fuel and create the Industrial Revolution of the North. And directly from slavery came several other businesses, such as textile factories, insurance companies, shipping companies, cotton brokers, and several others, bankers, benefited greatly from the enslavement of African people. They made millions of dollars selling goods to the South. They made millions of dollars off of loans and financing Southern plantations. Predecessors of banks like J.P. Morgan and Chase, which is now J.P. Morgan Chase, I believe, they owned themselves over 13,000 slaves. They got these slaves as collaterals from default loans given to plantation owners in the South. a banking family by the name of the Browns, which are known as the Brown Brothers and Harriman Company, one of the oldest and largest investment private banks in America. They owned hundreds of slaves, and they made millions, equivalent of today billions, off of the rental of slave ships. Which is, you're looking for slave ships because some people have this idea that slave ships didn't exist. You have to look at merchant ships. That's what you find slave ships on. If you're trying to do research on slave ships, you can't find slave ships under the name slave ship because they were merchant ships, because in slavery, African people were merchants. Merchandise were property. The Wachovia Bank also benefited from the enslavement of African people. One of the richest banking families in the history of the world, the Rothschilds, benefited from owning enslaved Africans as a result of collateral. Many of the insurance companies, such as AIG, Aetna, New York Life, all benefited from the enslavement of African people. You have some of the great Ivy Leagues, the great colleges, such as Harvard, which was built from money donated from slave plantation owners. Yale, Princeton, all were started as a result of slave labor. Brown University, which was named after the Brown brothers. Much of the campus was built using slave labor. And you must understand that this wealth was passed on from generation to generation and helped to establish many of the great corporations that we still have today. Much of the wealth that many people enjoy today in America is a direct result of what happened to our ancestors, to our African ancestors. And yet I see just recently Barack Obama, so many millions of dollars for Jewish Holocaust victims. But yet, we can't even have a discussion on reparations in America for African people, for the descendants of people who have built this country and is responsible for much of the wealth that European people, descendants of European people, enjoy to this very day. So on this day, we want to shine the spotlight on the legacy of the institution of slavery and its contribution to the wealth of the United States of America, and which leads us to our topic for today. Because you have to understand, the current economic system that we have in the United States today is a direct evolution from the slave system, because slavery, when you boil it down to its simplest form, is an economic system. It was an economic system based on forced labor of our African ancestors. It was based on the exploitation of men. It was based on greed. It was based on racism. And what we have today in monopoly capitalism is an evolution of that system. So the question that we want to deal with today, is it time for a new system? Is it time for capitalism to go? Can we do better? Does the system of monopoly capitalism do more harm than good for humanity? You have to excuse me. I think I need some water. So that's what we want to deal with. And as always, I will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the New African community. But before, I just want to give my brief opinion of this subject. To understand capitalism in today's society, well, first thing we have to do is we have to understand what capitalism is. Because in school, we learned that capitalism is synonymous with freedom. It's what you have to have in order to have freedom, in order to be free. You have to have a capitalist society. You have to have free enterprise. You have to have all of these things in order to be free. But, you know, as we talked about last week in our show, you know, we define freedom in four concrete ways. One, land. You must have land. Two, independence. Have to have independence. Three, nationhood, our self-government. You have to have the ability to govern yourself. And four, which a lot of people will have problems with, if you have to establish an economic system that benefits the whole of society instead of just those ruling elites at the top. Because if you don't do that, then you will create a society that enslaves its people, exploits its people, just like this one does. The only difference is we will replace white enslavers, white oppressors, with black ones. So with capitalism, understanding that, what capitalism is. Well, I mean, you know, first let's define capital. Let's give a working definition of what capitalism is. Capitalism is an economic system in which the means of production, the industry, and the distribution of wealth are controlled by the individual and not the state. It is designed to gain maximum profit for the ruling elite at the expense and exploitation of the proletariat, which is the working class. It is not designed to make sure that everyone has the resources they need to survive. It is not designed to make sure that everyone is okay. And if you look at the problems that much of the world face today, it is the result of a global economic system that is designed to exploit the masses of the world. I'm going to give you some numbers. The top 1%, the top richest people in the world control almost 50% of the world's wealth. The top 1%. Now, if you extend that to the top 10%, the top 10% of the richest people in the world control almost 90% of the world's wealth. So that leaves the rest, the 90% of the people of the world, 90% of the people have to struggle, have to fight, have to scuffle to gain 10% of the world's wealth. And you wonder why so much poverty in the world, so much war, so much disease. Because this is a result of this economic system that we suffer from today. You look at every industry, everything that comes within this system, ultimately, eventually, it gets corrupt. You look at the medical industry, the justice system, this educational system. Everything eventually, it becomes corrupt. Because that is the nature of this economic system, because you have to understand how economic systems work. Out of your economic system, all other systems will emerge. All other systems will be created based on whatever your economic system is. And if your economic system is based on greed, racism, exploitation, and classism, then so will the other systems that support your economic system. And just look at it. The medical industry, they're not concerned with curing people. They're concerned with making maximum profits for the ruling elite. That's why they don't talk about natural cures. They don't talk about preventive medicine. You talk about some chemical-based pill they give you that have side effects that create more disease, which you have to come back and get treated for, and it comes a cycle of destruction which leads in poor health. Food industry. We have some of the lowest quality food in the world. Why? Because it's cheaper to produce foods that are sprayed with chemicals, pumped full of GMOs, and GMOs are pumped full of steroids. Doesn't matter if these foods are killing people, creating more cancer, diabetes, hypertension, high blood pressure. causing epidemics within these things, because our economic system is based on gaining the maximum profit for the ruling elite at the expense and exploitation of everyone else. And we can go on and on and on and on and on. Any kind of industry that you name, that you look at, you just do the research on it, and you find how they have been corrupted. And it is the result of the very nature of this economic system. But as always, like I said, we are joined by some of the brightest minds in the New African community, and I want them to chime in on this topic. I have my brother Kakaiye. My brother Kakaiye, are you still there?
Yes, free the land, brother.
Free the land. I am, I will. So what do you think? Is it time for this economic system of capitalism to go? Is it outdated? Can we do any better than this?
Yes, we can do better. It is time for it to go. A lot of times the people, the masses of the people, don't recognize the change. Everything starts off simple and becomes complex, because change is constant. And so when we're in the midst of the change, it's hard to recognize it. It's like if you're losing weight and you see yourself every day, those little slight changes in the loss of weight is not recognizable by you, because you see this gradual change as being constant. You can't differentiate that the change is a great change. And that's the same thing when someone else comes and looks at you after they haven't seen you in a few months. They can see that you weighed 300 pounds 2 months ago, and when they see you 2 months later, you weigh 200 pounds. They recognize the complete change. And that's what's going on with this economic system. We have to understand that we're going through a change, and capitalism doesn't work. And while we are going through this change, we have to recognize the adjustments that nature is making. We have this concept that cooperative economics, communalism, to the point where if I say communism or socialism, scientific socialism, we have been indoctrinated to believe that this is something negative. But when you do things for the masses of the people and everyone benefits, everyone will be happy. What happens is we are ingrained in this capitalist system, and the people who control this system, like you described so eloquently before, the elite few controls the means of production, the resources, and they exploit the mass of the people. They see that there is a change, and they need to make some adjustments so that people won't recognize that we need to stand up and fight for a real significant change. So what they do is they give you a definition of scientific socialism as being negative, and yet they go and do certain things to appear to be helping the masses of the people. And in this election right now, they're talking about these candidates are socialists and they believe in communism, and we need to stop all of this food stamps and Section 8 and all of this. Well, see, what we are experiencing here as a people is not socialism. This is what you call a welfare state. And the difference between a welfare state and scientific socialism is that in a welfare state, you promote and you perpetuate capitalism while you give the masses of people things to keep them under the flashpoint of revolting or rebellion or having a revolution. So in order to keep people at complacent to live in this system of exploitation, you just offer them a few carrots, a few crumbs. You offer them food stamps. You offer them unemployment. You offer them welfare. You offer them Section 8 so that they become dependent on your system and they won't rebel because they have no idea what you're doing. This is what a welfare state is. Social scientific socialism is that we know that in any economic system that the wealth that's built is based off the resources of the land. And because we have built the wealth off the resources of the land in capitalism, on the sweat of our and the tears of our ancestors, they are in constant control of the land, of the government, of the system, of the wealth, of all the resources. When you separate from capitalism and you start beginning to look at a communal society, a society that's designed to help the community, we do have to have some form of order in order to distribute the wealth. And that's why in scientific socialism we say the state regulates and owns the distribution of the wealth so that we can have some order in making sure that all of our people are happy. And that's the difference between scientific socialism and capitalism. Capitalism just do things because they want to keep you at peace and pacify you. It's like a baby. A baby's crying because something's wrong, and then they just stick, you just stick a pacifier in his mouth to keep him calm down. That's all they're doing to us. We're waking up. We're voicing our opinions. We're saying that this has got to change, and all they do is stick a pacifier in our mouths by offering us food stamps, welfare, Section 8, and so forth and so on. So we must be able to recognize the difference, and we must understand that, like my brother said, capitalism has to go. It doesn't work. And you can see it's evident that it doesn't work because they're trying to pacify us so we don't stand up and fight for what we believe in. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you for those comments. I'm glad you brought up socialism. Because if you look at, like, the differences between socialism and capitalism, capitalism is based, the purpose of capitalism is to gain maximum profit for the ruling elite for a minority group of society at the expense of everyone else. So everything, the education system, the way we are trained, we're taught, hey, you go get an education so you can get a good job. Why you need a good job? So you can go work for somebody's company so you can make their corporation billions of dollars, which always filter up to the ruling elite. And it doesn't matter that, you know, the way you do it, maybe damaging people, causing people to lose their lives, causing families to be destroyed. I mean, just look at all of the industries and how they are detrimental to the masses of people, how they exploit people in order to make a dollar. I mean, we can do a whole show on that alone, because that is the goal. That's the basis of capitalism. It's about gaining maximum profit for a small group of people at the expense of others. But when you look at socialism, especially scientific socialism, the goal is to use all of the resources, technology, the genius of the people, in order to make sure that everybody has the necessary resources that they need to survive. This is the goal. So therefore, under this type of system, your education will be different. You'll be educated in order to use your ability to benefit society as a whole, to make things better, not just make a dollar. And under this type of system, the food industry will be different, because the purpose is not to make as much money as you can make. The purpose is to have the people in the best situation, in the best condition that we possibly can have. It's two very different mentalities with these economic systems. And I'm thankful for you for pointing that out, but I definitely want to get to my sister Iodelic. She is still online. Hold on, my sister. Let me get you back in here. All right, Sister Iodelic, are you there?
Free the land, brother. Yes, I am.
Free the land. I am, I will. So what do you think? Is it time for this economic system of capitalism to go? Can we do better? I mean, does it harm more people than do harm or than help? What are your thoughts, sister?
Well, when you think about capitalism, it's directly tied to imperialism, neocolonialism, white supremacy and racism, and as we focus on those citizens in America, you have to look at it as a worldwide system also. And the whole system is, there are contradictions emerging. People all over the world, as you define it, it's based on exploiting your material resources, exploiting the people who work, giving them low pay, giving them barely nothing for the raw material so they can be brought back to America or even produced outside of the country and brought back into America. So the people see that all of these wonderful resources that are being taken from their countries, what are they benefiting for? There is no even exchange of goods and services. It's about exploitation. You take those raw materials out for pennies. You give the people back virtually nothing. You keep them dependent upon the capitalist master, though the neocolonialist master that is in charge, whether it be Britain, France, Germany, the USA, so on and so forth. And the people are suffering, but they're watching certain people benefit, become richer. There is a clear distinction between the rich and just the regular public, what we call our proletariat. And we look at how we strive to get more and more and more, and it doesn't work. So everywhere you are going to see, if you're paying attention to world events, as well as your own individual nationalist events, you see that the system is failing on many, many, many levels. You've already talked about food, clothing, shelter, education, health. All of it is about the exploitation and not the true attempt to heal, to educate, so that people are stronger in their daily lives. So, yes, there is a need for capitalism to be looked at, better assessed, and to understand that there are other systems that can be put in place. Capitalism right now, or what we would call neocolonialism, imperialism right now, is going through what we call change development. And they're trying to hold on to a system that is just not benefiting the world, more or less its own citizens. They're more concerned with animals than people in this system. They're more concerned with going to outer space than taking care of citizens, taking care of inventing new sources of power, whether it be green energy, whether it be wind energy, whether it be solar energy. They want us tied into things that are more detrimental to our health than beneficial. Even the point of preventative medicine, where they're looking more at different types of herbs versus chemicals in your body. You've already mentioned some of those things. So capitalism, definitely. Even the interaction with its citizens. Look at us as a nation of people, of people that have been here since 1619 as enslaved Africans. The capitalist system, their interaction with its African citizens here in America is very, very, I would say, combative, because every law, every systemic rule and regulation is designed to make sure that the descendants of enslaved Africans are always on the defensive, always having to explain, hyper-explain, justify, when the whole nature of its laws and its particular rules and regulations are designed to keep us constantly under stress, which is another factor that's keeping Africans here in America at dis-ease, aggressive towards one another, instead of understanding that we cannot depend on capitalism. Capitalism is not designed to give each and every one of us, I'm talking about each and every one of us, once we reach the age of 16 and above, a job. It is not mathematically possible for capitalism to do that. And yet, at the same time, they do not teach us, as we once were taught, that you come back, you get yourself, create a profession for yourself, perhaps create a job for yourself so that you can create a job for others and extend that wealth and that understanding that and that interaction with the community in which you live, because people have short memories sometimes. There were times when there were those type of businesses based on the system of capitalism that promoted Jim Crow, segregation, so on and so forth. And it's only because of historical events, because the system was already shaking, that they were forced to integrate. Otherwise, we'd still be in those systems. So there was a development that occurred, but the development was not to the benefit of the African community. It was to the detriment when we look back and see what has occurred. Yes, a few of us were able to move on up, but as a community, as a nation and a race, it did not benefit us. So capitalism again is experiencing some further development. There are some contradictions that are arising, not only on the world arena, but in its own nation itself, what we call the belly of the beast. It is experiencing increased population, again, of African men who are incarcerated, as well as African women, as well as African youth. If we really do a hard study, the prison system has started for our youth. Right now, there are prisons for youth, and they're not being rehabilitated. They're being criminalized and under the system of institutionalized slavery. So we're talking about, yes, a need for us as elders, women, men, to take whatever education we are receiving, whatever resources, and to begin to think critically. There's got to be a better way. There's a different thing that we can do. There's a different way that we can embrace our community, create things for our community, whether they're stores, whether they're breakfast programs, some of the things Black Panthers did, and they worked.
Exactly.
Those problems haven't gone away. Those problems have not gone away. They have a different face on them. But there are definitely some institutions that need to be rebuilt, reanalyzed, and thought about from a community perspective. So, yes, brother, it is very necessary for capitalism to begin its decline and what we call scientific socialism, based on science, based on your economics, based on culture, to rise. And it is. Development, you can never stop development. Free the land.
Free the land. Well said, well said. And you know what? We're almost out of time. So before we leave, I do want to say this. When it comes to this system of capitalism, it is time to go. It is outdated. It does not benefit the whole of community. It's based on the individual. And that's kind of how we get trapped into this system, because we look at a few individuals who have been able to succeed, who have been able to prosper, doing very well. And we like to overlook the masses, the people who are not doing well, and look at them and blame the victims. Yeah, they're not doing well because they're just lazy, because they just have, their mentality is wrong. Everything is wrong. And not saying that we want to negate personal responsibility in anything. No, that's not what we want to do. But we want to analyze a system that is producing the results that it is producing. You know, in the early 1900s, it's a European guy by the name of Nikola Tesla who created a system which would provide free electricity to the entire country, really the entire world. This was done in the early 1900s. It was proven. He created a model. It worked in the early 1900s. But still, in 2016, every month, I get this very high utility bill. Why? Because the people in power, the ruling elite, would not benefit. They could no longer gain that maximum profit if there was a system in existence that provided free energy, holds up human progress. I look out in Memphis, Tennessee, where we live right now, where I live. I live, you know, in a so-called urban community. I don't live in the suburbs. But I can walk outside and walk 10 minutes just about in any direction, and I'll find an abandoned house, an abandoned warehouse, or abandoned company. And I can also walk 15, 20 minutes in any direction, and I can find a homeless person on the corner begging for some food, begging for some money, begging for something. Now, me being a logical person, I'm looking at people who don't have, people who are living under bridges, people who don't have houses. But yet, we have all of these vacant houses and stuff like that, just sitting around. From a logical perspective, it seems like that should be an easy solution. It seems like these problems should not exist, but they will always exist as long as we have a system that puts profit over the betterment of the human condition. So, brothers and sisters, I say this, we can do better, especially African people, new African people. We should be doing better. Because understand, we are the ones who have gotten the most exploitation under this capitalist system that evolved from the enslavement of our ancestors. We are the ones who have suffered the most. And our ancestors actually gave us some things to implement. They gave us something called the Nguzo Sabo, the seven principles of blackness. And if you study them, understand them, and implement them into your lives, it would be like a training manual for us to practice socialism within our own community. It talks about unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics. These are all the basis, the foundation of scientific socialism. So, brothers and sisters, I want to thank everybody for joining us every week. Join us next Sunday, as we will always be discussing topics that are relevant to the New African Independence Movement. Free the land, free the land, free the land.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means.